We want to talk about a person this morning that we've sang quite a bit about, connected with him anyway. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, 6th chapter. Matthew 6th chapter, please. Start reading about the 9th verse. 6 and 9 of Matthew. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed after this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I don't know, a number of days ago this started coming to my mind. And I thought, well, you know, is this for the service or is this just for old Carl? And as I began to pray, the Lord began to say, no, I want that for Springfield. I trust this will encourage us this morning because I want to talk about the greatest Father that's ever been. One that has been good to every one of us in this room. Beyond what we could ask or think sometimes. And reached down and lifted us up out of sin and out of corruption, out of muck and mire, and set our feet on a solid rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall stand in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I want to talk about our Heavenly Father for a while. I hope we get encouraged from the fact that we've got somebody, praise God, and He's not just anybody, but He's our Father which art in heaven. In heaven now. Now, some of us has lost our natural father, but some of you still have your natural father. Dear Stephen lost his at a pretty young age. There's been a number has lost their father. Ansel's another lost their father at a young age. But the bottom line was, even though we lost him, we've got somebody even greater than that. One that can help us with that. One that can bless us in the fact that even though we don't have our natural father, the one that done so much for us back there, we were young and growing up and so forth. Oh, he helped to clothe us. He helped to feed us. He gave us a home, gave us a shelter, allowance, helped get us a car. He taught us things. He counseled us. He chastised us. He protected us. He played with us. He prayed for us. He prayed for us. He prayed with us. He took us to service. He took us on vacations. He took us and had family worships and so forth. But then the Heavenly Father can do so much than that. So much greater than that. And I'm not doubting a Father, don't get me wrong. But this morning I'm full of the blessings of what the great Father has done for all of us this morning. Not just one, but everybody. He wants to be a Father to everybody in the whole world, praise God. He wants to be that special entity for them, to bless them and to help them, and to help them to see, hey, there's somebody up here that loves me, that died for me, that wants to do everything for me, praise God. Now then, the Heavenly Father can save, sanctify, heal, give us glory, give us wisdom, understanding, teach us, inspire us, satisfy, give us love, forgiveness, give us life. He can do what the other Father can't do, in that He can give things of the spiritual nature and of the natural. He's got everything. The natural Father can only give half. The Heavenly Father can give it all, praise God. So this morning, our Father, you know, they have a Father's Day every year, and sometimes a message like this is preached on Father's Day, but bless God, we have a Father's Day every year. I mean, every day of every year. You pray for us. Have a Father's Day every day, praise God, because of what this one does, the fact that we can get out of bed, we can walk, talk, see, hear, we can breathe, we can move about, we can do things. That's because of this Heavenly Father. He loves us, every one, this morning. Oh, thank the Lord for a Father, a Heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, let's go to James, the 1st chapter, 17th verse. James 1 and 17. He says here, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now this morning, this Father has the great spiritual life. He created really all life. And a janitor has to have light. You can't clean good without light, especially on a cloudy day. If you got a little sunshine, you can open blinds, you can see. And what's amazed me is you can go through and dust things and do things, and if the sunlight gets to pouring across, you look at it and you go, did I really dust that? You know, you can be painting or getting walls ready to paint, and you can shine light on it, and you can see imperfections you can't see with a natural eye, and so forth. So this type of light is real good. But bless God, Jesus come along, the Father come along to give us spiritual light. And that spiritual light is something that is helps us, gets us, starts us, keeps us, and blesses us all down through the years. Praise God. We've got to have this light. Thank the Lord. Several years ago, we was at Gaither homecoming. I only went to one in my life, and that was it. And I remember one of the singers kind of soloed, I Saw the Light. And I got such a blessing out of that because I saw the light. And I obeyed the light. You can see it, so to speak, but the bottom line is you got to obey it. You got to work with it, praise God. And this Father has, a natural Father again, He can do so much. He can help you to have this type of light here. But the bottom line is, when it gets down to it, God gave it all. And the spiritual is the greatest of all that He's ever given. And you and I can have that this morning. Have that light flowing down. Help us to see where we at. That we were in sin. That we were lost. That we were undone. Help us to see that there's a way out. Help us to see that He can set our feet on a solid rock. He can do something for it. And then begin to give us the understanding of the Scriptures. The understanding for sanctification and divine healing. And all these things are the doctrines is that light that comes down, and it comes from our Father, praise God, which art in heaven. Our Father. Oh, this morning, aren't you thankful for the Father this morning? The Father which art in heaven. He says here that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness. Now listen, nothing can mess this light up but us. There's going to be no clouds, so to speak. When He wants us to understand something, if you're willing, as He shines that light, nothing can obscure that or mess that up. It'll never change. It's always the same. And so consequently, it's something that is constant. It's something that works with us. It's something that helps us. Have you ever needed something? Have you ever needed to know some Scripture, to know which way to go, what to do, and you were praying, and all of a sudden it just lit up. It lit up in your mind. One day, Rebecca was teaching LaDonna, and she's just a little tight. Becky started her in school earlier than she would have had to because Cynthia started, and Donna was just right on the crux of being right at the age, but yet she was a little too early or a little too late, whatever it was. So Becky said, I'm going to start her too. Well, she was trying to teach her something, and Donna couldn't get it. She wasn't old enough, really. And one day, or one time, I don't know just where it was in the scenario, I come home, and Becky said, Carl, she got it. Said, I seen it just light up. She got it. Listen, isn't that the way the Father wants you and I? He wants us to light up. He got it. Oh, what does it say over here in 3 John, isn't it? Where he says here, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth, praise God. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Oh, that blesses the ministers, that blesses the saints, but it blesses the Father too. When He sees us kind of light up, so to speak, I see it, Father, I understand it. And sometimes it may take quite a while for you and I to get a hold of it. But when we do, it's a blessing to the Father. It's a blessing to the saint. It's a blessing to everybody, praise God, that's among the far saved and sanctified the body in a whole. All right, let's go to Colossians 1 and 12. Colossians 1 and 12. Our Father this morning. Do you love the Father? To God be the glory. Oh, this morning we can't glorify Him enough, saints. We can't bless Him enough. We can't thank Him enough. We can't praise Him enough because He's the one that has got everything for you and I. There's not anything He can't do for us this morning. All right, Colossians 1 and 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which which has made us meet to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Now giving thanks unto the Father. How much thanks do you give Him? How often do we thank Him? Now you know people like to be thanked. If you do something for somebody, it's nice to, well, I thank you for that. Or whatever, a wife to husband, or children to a dad, or dad to children, or just people on a job or whatever. If you do something nice for them, it's nice to be thanked. Well, think about the multitude of what He does, seen and unseen. And how we ought to thank Him on a regular basis. Father, I thank Thee. I thank Thee this morning, Father, for being my Father. The fact that we have the opportunity, saints, we were chosen, praise God. We didn't just go out and buy this. We didn't go out and just get it, so to speak. He had to call us and choose us. And then as we succumbed and begged and pleaded for mercy and forgiveness, He took us in, He adopted us, He saved us, He redeemed us, He washed us, and He done everything we couldn't do for ourselves, praise God. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Oh, He said this morning, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. He's the one that's made us to where we can be partakers. Him. We didn't do it ourselves. We've had people among us that's been extremely gifted, but even that come from God. Brother Leslie was one of the most gifted men I've ever had association with. I had the privilege of working close and close with him, in and out of the house. But he used to come to my business so much when I was doing the Lord. And he would come down there, he'd spend hours working with me. And it's because of the Father. He was called, he responded. Now then, you and I have a chance to be a blessing to somebody else because we've called and we're responding. Responding to that, praise God. He said there that which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Folks, today, if we weren't saved, we couldn't be a partaker of it. If we weren't saved, we wouldn't have all these blessings that we've got. Somebody said, well, I don't have enough. Well, be thankful for what you got, praise God. I thank the Lord for what we've got this morning. We might not drive a Cadillac, but we got a car. We might not have a mansion, but we got a home. We might not have a million in the bank. We may not be Donald Trump. We may not be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But the bottom line is we're connected. We're a son. We're a child of the one that owns the whole world and everything that's in it. Praise God. And He can give you and I anything we need this morning. Oh, thank the Lord. Made us meet. Thank the Lord He put us in a place where we can have this. Where we're qualified. Alright, now let's connect that into Romans 8. And please keep praying for us. We appreciate it. Romans the 8th chapter this morning. 8, and let's start reading here about 15, I think. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now he said here, he said 15, he said, for we not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption. Now then, some of you know, but I'm adopted. I have three sisters that's adopted. And then I was adopted a second time by the great Jesus Christ. One day, years ago, Rebecca was reading a story to the girls, and it was about a person that had been adopted, and they wanted to know who their mom, dad, whatever was, and they had searched and searched trying to find it. And finally, it happened. They got a connection made after quite a while. And I come in, and I was sitting there. And the tears started streaming. Because I know what it's like to want to know who that mom was and that dad was. Even though my adoptive parents were very good to me, I have no qualm. But the bottom line is there's always a longing, wanting to know who that person is, who that parent is, that father, that grandfather that you never knew, you don't even know who it is. And the tears were streaming. And the girls looked at me and said, "What's wrong with Dad?" And Becky, she gave them an answer. I got up and went back into our bedroom. And I went in and the Lord spoke to me. And He said, "You're mine now, child. You're mine now, praise God. You've been adopted, child. You've been adopted by me. No matter who else is out there, no matter who your birth parents are, the bottom line is the greatest thing that you and I can have is the bottom line is we're adopted by the King to be a child of the Father, praise God, to be a child of the great Father. Oh, this morning, this sets us in place for everything we need. There's not anything you're not heir to in the whole kingdom now. An adopted child has just as many rights as a birth child. So consequently, a spiritual adopted child has all the rights too, just like everybody else, praise God. And we cry, "Abba, our Father, Father." Oh, and then it said, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Listen, folks, this morning, when you and I were in trouble as children, what did we like? We liked the presence of the Father. We like Him to come in. We like Him to sit down. We like Him to take us in His arm. If we're hurt, if we're wounded, if we've just been somebody done us wrong, it's another child. I'm thinking about it. They do all kinds of things to one another. And He comes in and He sits down and says, "Come here, Johnny." And He takes you up in your arms, His arms, and He loves you and He comforts you. The very fact that the presence of the Father is there means so much, praise God. That calms it all down. That settles it down. That does something nothing else can do, praise God. The very presence. He said for His, let's see. Said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children. Listen, folks, if we didn't have that presence, it'd be rough. When we're in real battle, when we're in real trial and tribulation, and that presence, we know we're a child of God. We know that He loves us. We know that He's adopted us. We know that He's blessed us. That goes beyond anything you can ask or think right there. There was a situation in a home one time where a mother had a crib death child. I guess that's the best way to put it. I got another deal with it. But anyway, Doug Manning that wrote the book, Please Don't Take My Grief Away, he was a pastor and they called him and he come over there and he had never had any, he was a young minister at that time. He never had anything like this. I never had as far as that goes. And he said he walked in and said the mother was over here and there were several ladies over here and they had the baby. Mother couldn't even get her hands on it. She wanted the baby and they just took it away from her. And she's standing there crying and sobbing, and he looks right. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. And they said, "Well, the undertaker's coming." The head of the funeral home, maybe that's it. And anyway, so this man had been around for a long time, old head. And he walked in, Doug said, and he walked in and he walked up to the ladies, said, "Give me the baby." He took the child and turned around and walked over and put it in the arms of the mother. And he said, "Here, when you're through and you're ready, I'll take the baby." He motioned for others to go to the kitchen. And Doug said the very presence of that man had such a powerful effect on the whole room. Everything settled down. Now, the mother was probably still crying, but the bottom line was his presence, his knowledge, his understanding of coming in and doing what needed to be done. Listen, folks, when Jesus, his presence, he knows what you need. He knows how to help you in that need. He knows when to bless you. Listen, he can calm, he can satisfy, he can do anything he needs to do. And I've been amazed at what he can do, praise God. He never had failed to do what needs to be done perfect every time. You sometimes don't know what to say to somebody in grief. He knows what to say. He knows how to comfort. And I'm not careful. I'm going to get over in Corinthians here. But the bottom line, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Listen, there's nothing better than that. Praise God. His very presence inhabiting our soul. Oh, today aren't you thankful for the Father? The Father, the great Father, the wonderful Father, the loving Father. Oh, today. He said, and children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. All right, let's tie that together with Galatians. Galatians, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse, kind of the same reading here. It said, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye know not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God. Now he said, because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, 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 wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. All right, she said here, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now then, the inheritance, being heirs. Christ and God the Father can give us anything we need. Our natural fathers, if they're gone, possibly was able to leave something to you. As far as I know right now, my daughters will get everything I've got when I'm gone. They're not functioning at the bit, so to speak. They know it's in a trust. They know it belongs to them. They know it's theirs. But they don't have what I've got. They don't have the spiritual inheritance that we've got. Listen, it would be nice in some cases to have $1 million in the bank. It would be nice in some cases to have some of the things these people have got. But listen, folks, you and I have got something far greater and far more wealth and far more glory than what Donald and what Bill and what Warren Buffett's got this morning. I wouldn't trade it for anything, praise God. I'd rather have a cabin on a dirt road back in the woods, praise God, and all the riches, spiritual riches that He's given me down through the years. Listen, the inheritance, the heirship that we've got opens you and I up for everything that is in there. It's not just some things. Some parents can give a home. Some parents can give a car. Listen, folks, God gives us everything we need, and He can't be stopped, praise God. Oh, this morning, heir. You're an heir by the sonship that you have with the Father. Because He come along one day and said, I want you to be with me. Oh, if the world could see this, if they could understand what they could have. They want the riches of the world. And I wanted that. Young people, I set my mind and my destiny to be a multimillionaire till Jesus come along, praise God. And He showed me. He said, you can have all the riches in the world. I can take them away in a moment's time. You won't have nothing. And then He kept working till I humbled. And I begged for mercy and begged for salvation. And then as I began to see through the years, I got far greater than what I'd ever had out there. Far greater glory, far greater blessing, far greater of understanding and light and wealth in the Scriptures and all the kingdom and everything that goes with it. You can't top this, praise God. And it's because the Father loves you and I this morning. Oh, He loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants to do everything He can do for you. Our Father this morning. Do you love the Father this morning? He loves you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. I love this reading in here. It's been extra special the last 3.5 years. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brethren, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy. And the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforting, it is your consolation and salvation. Now then, number one, he said, he's the Father of mercies. Anybody in here ever need any mercy? I need it all the time. We had the privilege of attending Beth Bach's funeral. It was almost perfect all the way through. It was a great service. And you know what they dealt with? They dealt with the fact that she almost waited too long. They dealt with the fact that the mercy of the Father come down. She told some people, I did not know this before that day, but she told some people, the Lord will not deal with me anymore. He's not dealt with me in years. And she said, I want to get saved. She would go to meetings. She'd go to camp meetings. She'd do different things. But the bottom line was she had walked away from God and she wasn't getting back. And she was getting to a place where it was getting serious. And then as she got down, this affliction began to work on her body and it got worse and worse. She began to do meat for repentance. She began to call people. She began to have them come in. She wanted them to forgive her and she asked forgiveness, whatever she did. And all of these things. And then it got down to Dwight and Kim was there. And isn't it time to wrap it up, Beth? Isn't it time to finish it up? Well, I got two more. Well, let's do it now. What about calling them? What about ask them in? So she called them and she got a hold of them. She got that taken care of. You want to pray? And she prayed. She was snatched from the fire, folks, by the Father, the one that loved her and died for her, the one that wanted to help her all these years, the things she missed so much because she went back. She didn't have all the blessings, all the inheritance, and all the glory that you and I have got this morning. Because she went away from God. Oh, it was a wonderful service. It was a wonderful service. And they come down to the fact it was the mercy of God. Now you and I still need mercy. We ain't perfect by any means. As far as we make blunders, we say things we shouldn't say, and different things, we make our mistakes. And it just takes the Father in His mercy for you and I. The Father of mercy. It all flows from Him. Now then, He said, in the God of all comfort. I can preach probably for hours on this. But I'll shorten it. Don't get excited. The God of all. Some of you heard me tell that I had three comforters in my grief stage after Rebecca passed. And they were wonderful. I had people right here in this room that's called me different times. I've had saints, I've had family, I've had friends that have done everything they could do for me when I was hurting so bad. But they couldn't do what this Father could do. I was amazed in the depths of my suffering, in the depths of my bawling over Becky, as I call it, in the depths of that, He could come down and He could take it all away in a moment's time. And I go, I was stunned. He'd take it, He would lift it, He would change it. And Sister Maxine, somebody, I don't want to go on the whole story of that, but Sister Maxine said in the deal with the death of her daughter, said she got to saying, Lord, give me fresh comfort. When she'd get to grieving and hurting, she'd say, Father, give me fresh comfort. And she said the Lord would do it over and over and over. And the comforters were good. The saints were good. But the Father of all comfort beat them all, praise God. He could lift it in a moment, just in a split second. One time, I was grieving over her age. And I said, Lord, she was so young. And He spoke to me and He said, child, age don't matter to me. It's eternity that counts. And I got to thinking about that, quit bawling. I got to thinking about that and God got a blessing. The bottom line, Jesus died for everything. As far as the soul and all that's connected, He didn't die for money. He didn't die for age. He didn't die for all the wealth, all the possession. He died for our soul. He died for take us to heaven to make us blessed. He done all these things. It was all soul connected. And I thought, yeah, He didn't die for Becky's age. He died to get her to heaven, and that's what she said. And that makes a difference the way you look at it. Oh, today, He's a God of all comfort. There's been times, if I had the power, I'd go around, and everybody that's in grief, I'd touch them and lift that load. I'd do anything I could do for them because it's been so real and so hard on me. The pain and the anguish, people don't know that they go through it. There's pain in the body constantly for months and months, natural pain that you suffer, you've been ripped in two. And that don't go away overnight. Well, there's only one that can go above all of that and help you. That's the Father of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Oh, today, aren't you thankful for our Father? Our Father this morning who comforted us in all. Not some of, not part of, but He's able to deal with any tribulation, situation, that you and I have to deal with. And not just the death of somebody, but we have people that maybe do us wrong. We have people that hurt us unintentionally and intentionally. And all these things. Listen, folks, He can get out and He can deal with the smallest to the greatest of these hurts and lift and comfort and do what nobody else can do. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for our Father this morning. He loves us this morning. Said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. Oh, He wants us to help others. By what we have been given, what we have learned, what we have had happen, He wants us to share that and to give it to others. Christmas Day, before Becky died about a month later, I was grieving. There was nobody at the house with me. It is the darkest Christmas I've ever faced. I cried nearly all day long. But one brother in this congregation called me. And he doesn't know the depth of blessing he was. It was such a help to hear his voice. And he said just the right things that lifted me and helped me through that day because it was so dark. I was facing all the rest of my life by myself. And I knew that because I knew probably I was going to lose her. He was able to do something, and I'll never forget it. He came in there, He told me. He didn't talk an overly long time, but what He said was just what I needed. We can do that for others. We can take the comfort wherewith we've been comforted and share it and give it. And I want to encourage you to do it. But it all comes back from the Father of mercy and comfort. The one that can do for us and has done for us the greatest things that we've ever endured, ever gone through because of His blessing. Oh, let's go to Matthew 7. Our Father this morning. 7:7, I think it is, of Matthew. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you with whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, I know every father in here would do the best they could for their children. They would give them the proper things, the right thing. They wouldn't give them, if that son asked for fish, they wouldn't give him a serpent. If he asked for bread, he wouldn't give him a stone. If then you being evil, natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more that your Father which is in heaven give good gifts, good things to them that ask Him. Now sometimes it's like a birthday. It's our birthday and we get gifts. It's Christmas and we get gifts. But there's sometimes you have to ask for something, especially a child. What did your father used to give you? I learned years ago that on vacations in particularly, that Dad would give if I asked for a soda or a candy bar or an ice cream bar or whatever. And we learned that Daddy said that it's my time to cook supper. We were going to McDonald's for hamburgers and french fries and a soda or a malt, whatever. And so I was raised up at McDonald's. I had a great mom that was a Southern cook, so we didn't stay at McDonald's all the time. But that was Dad's way of treating his children, and I appreciated that. I liked that. Every child just about would. He gave good things. He died in 1992 in the summer. He had discovered a tractor that they had bought for me, a toy tractor about this long and about that high. It was a John Deere, made after John Deere. Bought it when I was about 2 years old. It went through all five of us children. It was stuck up in the garage and forgot all about it. And he looked at it one day. And his cogs in his mind got to turning. And he goes, "Mama, we ought to take that tractor and see if we can have somebody redo it and give it to Carl for his 40th birthday." Well, he died in the summer before I turned 40 in the next February. You know what that done to me when Mama said here? This Father, our Heavenly Father, gives us gifts. And I'm talking about natural things here, because everything you've got come from Him. Amen. Some people say, "Well, I done this." No, no. The bottom line, He gives us everything we've got. Brother Leslie's gifts were natural, a lot of them. But the bottom line was that still come from God. Every natural thing, our homes, our cars, every cent we've got and own, no matter where it might be, comes from the Father. Our jobs, our land, our boats, our motors, our go-karts, our four-wheelers, or whatever you got. When you iron it all down, folks, He gives it to us. Sometimes we ask for things. "Lord, could I have, see, my family's getting bigger. I need another bedroom or two." Or, "I've got four children now instead of two. I need a bigger car." And He gives that. He gives us those things. He helps us to find it. He helps to get good deals and so forth for you and I. Sometimes He just gives something with no money at all to people. There was a house that burned down in Louisiana years ago. This might have happened before I was ever saved. Seemed like it did, but I don't remember for sure. And I don't think the people even had any insurance, if I remember right. Well, anyway, one minister said, time the saints got through, the Lord got through, and the saints got through, they had a nicer house than they did before. Because of the Lord. Because of God. How big a house do you need? How great is God, saint? How great is this Father? He's as great as you need Him to be. There's not anything He can't give you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Listen, folks, today, He has done so much for everybody in every way. And yet a lot of people don't live for this Father. That's what's so sad. They don't pay back. They don't bless. They don't say thank you for what He's done for them. And He's done so much. All right, let's begin to wrap it down. Let's go to Isaiah 64. Let's bring it on down here. Isaiah 64 and about 8. One scripture here, 64 and 8. It said, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art our potter. We are all the work of Thy hand." All right, then I want to go to Colossians 3. Colossians, the third chapter and the first verse. No, the eighth verse. Colossians 3. Well, let's move on down here. Let's go to, let's read 8. "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Then it said, put on therefore. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Now, he says up here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, what has happened to our world is the fact that people that claim to be Christians don't act like Christians. It's ruined this country. We were in a funeral in Wichita, Kansas. And the man, it was Sister Belinda Simon's father. That'll tell you some who this funeral was. He was quite a renowned man in the ministry. He had quite a radio ministry and plus everything else. There was a number of pastors that were sitting on this rostrum area. And the pastor of this church where this funeral was acting a little bit strange. No, not a little bit. He's acting a whole bunch strange. Let me just put it like it is. He was doing things I thought, I don't mind being joyful. I don't mind, but he was just a little off beam. So I was astounded at what I was seeing him do and what he maybe was saying. And after the funeral, and we got back to service that night, the congregation was talking to me and I said, something was wrong with that man. They said, yeah. And they said, we saw it was blowing your mind too. And it was. I couldn't hardly take it all in. I'd never seen anything like it. Said, you know what was wrong with him? Said he was drunk. He'd been drinking. He would get drunk Saturday night, go to jail, and they'd go bail him out the next morning where he'd come preach to them. Now that ain't the image of God, folks. The image of God is holiness and righteousness and godliness. That's the way He created man in the beginning, and that's the way the plan is now, praise God. And He wants us back to that plan. He wants us to look like, act like, be like the Father, which art in heaven, which people can see the love, the mercy, the compassion, the gentleness, and all these things it lists down here. The Holy Beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. Listen, folks, we can never have as much mercy as He has, but we can demonstrate mercy. We can pour out as much as we can pour out, and people recognize that if you're merciful to them. They will see things. They will understand things. And there are the mercy and the kindness, being kind to people, humbleness of mind, not thinking yourself up here, but down here in your mind, that you're not anything. Everything you've got comes from God, all your gifts. No matter how talented we might be, it still comes from the Father. Having meekness, having long-suffering. How long-suffering are we with one another? Sometimes that gets a little short. Forbearing. Forbearing one another. A certain mother of one of the congregational members here sent a certain engagement card to a couple one time, said, you need to take two bears into marriage. Bear and forbear. And I did find out Sister Natalie Allen had something to that as I began to be married. And I thought we had a wonderful marriage, but there's things here you're going to have to bear and you're going to have to forbear. And it's not that one you're married to all the time, but it's people in the congregation, it's people on the job, it's people in the neighborhood, it's people in the family. Forbearing and long-suffering and forgiving. If any man have a quarrel against any, Always remember the Father forgave you. And we didn't deserve it. But He forgave us. And then it says, and above all these things, put on charity. All right, let's wrap it up. John 20 and 17. One scripture here. John 20 and 17 here. And here it is. Jesus has been resurrected. And Mary's there. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren. Go to my brethren, Mary. I want you to go to them, and I want you to say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Even though everything looks dark, even though it looks like everything's falling apart, the bottom line is you still got a Father in heaven. Praise God. He's mine and He's yours. You're part of this, Mary. You're part of this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're part of all of this. And I want to encourage you that He's still there. And I'm going to be on the throne. And I'm going to help you. Praise God. And when you have trials and tribulation, it said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. I'm right there, children. He's right there. And then Stephen, when he got into trouble, he looked up and Jesus was standing. Oh, right there with the Father. He was there and they were working as a team to help their child out. They were killing him and he's fixing to go to heaven. And he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. That's a saint, folks. That's made in the image of Him that created him. Praise God. Our Father, we appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this morning. Pray for me.